Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about celebrating the holidays when there has been a divorce in the family. This topic was inspired by Kathy Lauer Williams, a columnist for the Morning Call. How do we have two celebrations, two dinners, and at the end of the day we're all tired, full, and cranky? To help us create a balanced holiday celebration when there has been a divorce or separation in the family is my guest, Pam Wallace, program coordinator of Project Child, a program of Valley Youth House. Project Child is a primary prevention program in that they attempt to prevent child abuse from happening through positive parenting programs, educational trainings, help for families, and informing the public of child abuse and neglect cases. It is a pleasure to welcome Pam Wallace to help us take charge of our lives and create a holiday balance when there has been a divorce or separation in the family. Welcome, Pam Wallace, to WDIY.
Thank you very much. It's very nice to be here.
How did you become involved in Project Child?
I have a video production company, Barley Wallace Productions, and we had done a number of videos for Project Child because we were very interested in the topic. And that's kind of where it started, where I started meeting the people, and I was very interested in what they were doing, and I wanted to do more.
And how did you follow through on this?
An opening became available, and I put my application in, and we went from there.
Now, did you have training, a background training in and parenting?
I'm a parent. Okay. I'm a parent. I have two kids. I did some substitute teaching for a while. My awareness of what I was doing, my awareness of the topic, I think really started back when we started doing videos back in the 80s. And because we did homelessness, and then that led to domestic violence, and that led to child abuse, because they're all so related. And I think being a part of that really was part of learning about what goes on in families and what abuse is, and really helped further my knowledge of it.
Now, how does Project Child work in Valley Youth House?
Project Child is part of Valley Youth House. It's a program of Valley Youth House. Project Child was formed back in 1991 when a coalition of many organization nonprofits came together because they thought there was a real problem with child abuse in the area. Valley Youth House was one of those founding programs that helped us. Over the years, other organizations have left or new ones have come on, but Valley Youth House, being one of the main founders, took us under their wing, and we've been a program of them ever since.
Now, you have you do some interesting programming for Valley Youth House for prevention of child abuse. And could you tell us a couple of the programs that you have?
Sure. We do a number of things under Project Child. We have parenting classes. We have them in Allentown and Bethlehem. And those are in the evenings, and they are, you know, to help parents. It's a revolving series of classes. There's 9 sessions. You can get a parenting certificate at the end if you complete all the classes. And they cover a variety of issues: stress, discipline, managing anger, child development. So it's a really wide series of classes. We also have a parent support group that is at Fritz Memorial Church that is open to the public. It's a drop-in if you want to. Any more information, you can call Project Child. We have the Help for Families column, which is why I'm here. And that we have a number of individuals from, we have guidance counselors, we have professionals, we have psychologists, somebody from Lehigh County. So we have a wide variety of people that are on this Help for Families column. So we do that. We do educational trainings for professionals. they all kind of revolve around child abuse issues, but it could have anything that is going to affect a child, pretty much.
Well, one of the things that's going to be affecting children are those children who are in families where there's either been a recent separation with custodial agreement or a divorce, and everybody wants to celebrate the holidays, and everybody wants to be together and celebrate family tradition, et cetera. How can we be helpful to the dissension and the dissatisfaction and sadness that comes when we think about celebrating the holidays and not being all together with our family?
I think a lot of this stuff has to be decided ahead of time. When you divorce, you get custody issues. And part of the custody issue is who's going to have them on what holidays. And that's something that you really need to work out. And that really is the framework of how you're going to handle your all of the seasons that you have. And that also includes vacations and summers and things. So you really have to work on that. And once you get that schedule, which is set up by the court system and is kind of like is a legal document, you have to abide by that. And if you're going to change it, you may have, if you have a really good relationship with your ex, you might be able to do it just talking about it, or you may have to go to court. But you have to remember that what you're doing is for the kids. You want your children to have the best holiday that they can have, and you've got to work together as parents to make it happen.
Well, how do we do that if there's dissension or there, sometimes you have a legal document, but you're really not satisfied with it or you're unhappy with it, and then the children really know because they know about our unhappiness. So how do we help the children have the best holiday a celebration? Even though they're going to be celebrating it at two different houses. Can you give us some examples from your own background or situation?
I think you've got to work together from the family and what is going to work for both of you. If in my family, our Christmas dinner is in the evening, and maybe somebody, your exes might be at noontime. So that he could have them maybe Christmas Eve and Christmas morning, and they could have their function. And then later on in the afternoon, they could come over to the other parents' house for the evening dinner and do Christmas that way. That way they get to see both families. But that doesn't always work, depending on who's coming in and who is going to be part of the family group.
Well, very often the children want to be together, and they'll say, "Oh, come on, Mom! How come we can't be together with Mommy and Daddy? And I want to see Nana, and I want to see Poppy, and I don't want to go separate, be away from you. Can't we do it together? Why can't we all be together?"
I don't think that it doesn't work that way. Life isn't perfect. We can't all have what we want, and it's a compromise. And I think you need to explain to the children, look, you're going to go see your father's family on this day, and we're going to celebrate on this day, and we're going to do this and make it something special. Maybe you have to create new traditions. You might have to change things around, but you've got to make sure that they are very comfortable with it and they know what's going on.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life, and this is your host, Elena Barbro. And this evening, we're talking about how to make celebrating the holidays special when there's been a divorce or a separation in the family. And my guest this evening is Pam Wallace, who is the program coordinator for Project Child, which is the Child Abuse Prevention Coalition for the Lehigh Valley and a program of Valley Youth House. We're talking now about how do we help ourselves? If we're dissatisfied, if we are upset, how do we keep our kids from knowing? Because children are very, very sensitive. They know what we're really thinking and feeling, even though we may try to present a different kind of face or a different kind of outlook.
I think you just have to maintain that face. You have to pretend that you guys get along. And if something happens that makes you angry, don't do it in front of the kids. Don't argue in front of the kids. Because the kids feel bad enough because there's a divorce anyway. I mean, they think it's their fault that
you're divorced. What do you mean they think it's their fault?
Well, kids don't understand the complexities of why parents don't get along and why there's a divorce. And children are always trying to fix things. I want to make this better, and if I'm a better boy, I can, and I don't do anything wrong, mommy and daddy will get back together. And it's the parents that aren't getting along, and I think you have to let them know that you're safe. It's not because of you that we're not getting along, or that we're getting a divorce. We don't get along. But I think you want to hide that from your kids, and when it comes to when you've got anger issues, or in terms of if you drop the kids off late, there shouldn't be a battle from the parents. One parent should call and say, hey, I'm going to be a half hour late because something happened, but I will be there as soon as I can. And a compromise. You've got to compromise.
In what way do you mean compromise?
Neither parent is going to ever get what they want. In my case, I want my kids all the time. I do realize when you have two parents that it's selfish for me to think that I'm the only one. So you do want your children to see their father. So you have to compromise for the children's sake.
Well, from what I'm hearing you say, what you're saying is that, number one, we have to compromise, and number two, we really have to be honest with the children and help them to know that, yes, you might be upset with daddy, but you're not upset with them, and it's not their fault. And they need to know that very clearly, because they do accept responsibility very easily for what's going on in the relationship between mommy and daddy. Even though it's not their responsibility, not their fault, they do take that on very quickly. How can you sit down and really talk to the kids and let them know what is going on?
Well, I think it depends on the age. I mean, if you've got really small little children, it's
give
very...
Give us an example of a small.
If you've got infants, or yeah, babies or toddlers, it's very hard to explain to them what's happening, why they're all of a sudden leaving and going someplace else. When they're older, 4 or 5, you can talk to them about you're going to go with the other parent. Let's say you're going to go with your father now, and I'm going to see you real soon. I'm going to tell them when you're going to see them. Explain what we're going to do when you see them, so they have this expectation of it. And then you can arrange a video chat, or you could arrange a cell phone, calling on the cell phone, so you can talk to them after they open their presents or after Thanksgiving dinner and say, how was dinner and stuff like that? Okay, I'll see you soon. And so you can still maintain that contact. And I think the children start to get, as they get older, they get used to it. They may not like it. I really have to get up now. I wanted to sleep in Christmas morning and open presents. Nope, sorry, got to get up and out you go. So it depends on the ages.
Well, we're going to talk more about celebrating the holidays when there's been a divorce or separation in the family when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening, we're talking with Pam Wallace, who is the program coordinator of Project Child of Valley Youth House. And we're talking about how to survive the stresses and strains of the holiday celebration when there's been a divorce in the family, and how to create beauty and harmony in the light of that stress. And to help us create a balanced holiday celebration, Pam, tell us, give us some examples. Let's say, in a family that's suffering from, maybe suffering is a bad word, but has been through the process of divorce, separation, and maybe one person, one parent wants to go on a holiday just around the holidays. And the other person, and they're going for a long distance. Let's say they have family in Australia and they want to celebrate in Australia. And the other partner, has all their family here in the Lehigh Valley. So how do you work out some kind of compromise here?
That's a real, real difficult one because both parents want to have their children. They want to have them over the holidays. They want their children to be able to see their own families. I think that's something that you have to really work out because both parents have to sign off on the fact that they're taking the child out of the country. So you are the parent who is staying behind is going to have to think really hard about this, but also think about the best interests of the child. And depending on the age of the child, if 8, 9, 7, you know, when they're older, not toddlers or anything, but if they're older, you can talk to them about, you know, what it is, what the other partner has going for them, what the whole plans are, and then see how they feel about it. Do they want to be away for that whole time?
So what you're saying is if the child is about 7, 8, or 9 or above, you can sit down with the child and talk with the child about, let's say, dad's plans to see his family and celebrate the holiday, let's say, in Australia, just as an example. Mm-hmm. And if the child is younger, what then?
Well, I think you can still talk to him, but I think you've got to decide what's in the best interest of the child. But I mean, really, how often do you get to go to Australia? And it's a great learning experience. It's a great, you know, a great thing for the child to go to. And maybe he's seeing more family or something. And I think that's a good thing. And come down again to its compromise. You can ask, you know, maybe give your ex this trip, but say, okay, now I would like to do something, take him on some vacation or just have him for a little longer at some point.
Or perhaps that's a very interesting technique. What you're saying is compromise. Well, okay, I'm not very comfortable, but you take him for the Christmas vacation to Australia, but in the summertime, I only get a certain amount of time. I would like you to have the same extension for me when I want to take our son to the Bahamas for a vacation, just as an example. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying is compromise?
Yes, compromise in that way. And you still have to be very careful about the legalities of that, and because, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I have no idea, but I just know that there are legal documents, and whether or not, you know, you have to get anything signed off on or if it's just something that if you as parents can get along that you can do on your own.
Well, having watched Family Court a great deal, as Judge Judy would say, there needs to be a written agreement that it's okay for both parties to sign off. So there has to be some kind of written statement that both parties are in agreement to the reconciliation, that is, or the compromise. Mm-hmm. That is, dad is going to take their son to Australia to visit his grandparents, and they'll be gone for about 17 to 20 days. And it's agreed that mom is going to be able to have their son and take them to the Caribbean in the summertime for a similar amount of time. And they both sign off, and I believe it has to be legally signed or documented that both are in agreement.
It might be. Like I said, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know. The other thing is you have to know your ex and know can they and have trust in them that they are a good parent, that they will watch out for the kids, and that you do trust them complicitly. Like there aren't any issues that you really have to worry about.
Such as?
So, you know, is any type of a abuse issues or anger issues. Everybody has a temper. You know, everybody can lose their patience and stuff like that. You just want to worry about the obvious signs that the parent might not be fit to do this, you know, in one way or another. You have to know your ex in order to know that everything is going to be okay, because you just do.
So what you're saying is you have to have enough trust and confidence in the fitness of your ex-partner to understand that this is a safe trip or a safe way for your son or daughter to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the important thing.
Right. Now, it's the safety of the children that you're concerned with, the safety and the happiness of your children. And that is, I think, is what you have to keep in the forefront of your mind when it comes to these custody issues and holidays and what best fits for them. And then you can want everything that you want. You know, I want my kids all the time, and I want to take them here, and I don't want to take them there. But you do have to remember there's two of you.
So you really have to be able to work out compromise, mm-hmm. and you really have to understand what you're able to, the safety issue is very important. And if you are comfortable with those issues, then you can reach perhaps some kind of compromise.
And then you can feel comfortable as a parent saying, and prepare your child and then say, you know, when you come back, we're going to do this. I had a situation with my brother was overseas and he didn't come back very often. And he was coming back for the holidays and the situation was turned around. I wasn't supposed to have them. And we were able to work it out so my kids could come see their uncle and have dinner and spend the night, you know, the time with him and such. And it worked out well.
And, you know, you raised an interesting point in the earlier part of the program that we live in a day and age that we really don't have to be totally separated. So that, for example, if you have given agreement that you're going to let your child go with their dad, let's say, to Australia, that you can do it with the agreement that there's going to be some Skyping sessions
mm-hmm.
so that you can get together.
Right.
And you're not totally isolated.
Yeah, and you can see the children, and you can see that, and then they won't miss you. And you can just, you know, it's just a way of communication that works.
So you're not isolated mm-hmm. from the child. Very good. So, and what about talking with the children about the differences? Because very often children are, and I may have mentioned earlier in the program, children want things a certain way. Gee, but we always do it that way, Mom. How come? How do you sit down and talk with them? What kind of conversation is productive?
I think talking to them when you want to let them know things can't always be the way they were. Things have changed now. And we used to do things one way, but now we're going to do it another way, and we're going to try to make this the best way possible. And this is going to work out really well. I mean, you have to be real positive about it. And children are going to be disappointed because it's going to be a change. It's not going to be the way it used to be.
And I think they have to be recognized that they may be disappointed
mm-hmm.
and that you understand that. But things will not be, it will not necessarily be negative.
No, it won't be negative. And as long as you can put a positive spin on it and not fight between the two parents, you know, maintain a good rapport. And also, if you have them Christmas morning, couldn't he come over and help do the presents also? I mean, you could have that.
When you say he...
If an ex-husband or the wife, if the kids are at one place... at one parent's house Christmas morning, why not have him come over or her come over, the ex come over, and you could celebrate Christmas together. You can see the kids open the presents. They can all give these presents. And then the one other parent could leave. At least they could have that. The kids are still allowed to be in their home. That situation doesn't work for everybody.
You have to have that kind of separation agreement. And a sense of respect and compassion for one another that allows that compromise to happen. That would be very nice. That sounds very, very nice.
It can work. I know friends that have done it, and it works.
Well, I think that's a wonderful way to resolve that issue. What else gets in the way of celebrating holidays when there's been the divorce or separation in the family?
I think for the spouse that may not have the children for the dinner, you go to a family dinner and all your family, your relatives around, and there's your mom and dad and your aunts and uncles and your cousins and their kids, and you have all the kids, everybody else's kids, and then you're sitting there at the table and you're all by yourself. And that's really lonely, and that can be very sad, because you're envious. Everybody else has their kids, and your kids are off with your ex, and relatives will always say something. Well, oh, where are your kids? Oh, it's too bad that their kids can't be here. Well, yeah, I know that, but you just have to realize that that's the way life is right now, and you just have to acquiesce to and say that's the way it is. I'm still going to have a good Christmas, and I'm going to see them whenever I'm going to see them.
And so what you're really saying is to be careful not to feel sorry for yourself. Because if you do, I mean, it's okay to be sad. But at the same time, that sadness can lead to anger. And you want to be careful that you don't develop sadness into anger and frustration that you can't have it the way you would like it to be.
Or depression. Or anything like that, yes. And you know, your children will come back to you, and it's not a perfect world. It's not the way you wanted it, and probably not the way you planned it when you got married. But you have to make the best of it for the children and for yourself.
And we can help by the way we respond to the situation and not react to it. I want to thank you, Pam Wallace, for helping us to understand that in order for us to find balance in a family where there's been a divorce, we need to find our own positive attitude. As children will become aware of the attitudes of adults surrounding them, we need to sit down and talk with our co-parent to come up with a plan that works for both families. We need to sit down and get our child's input as to what would make them happy and feel balanced, and to recognize traveling situations. Thank you, Pam Wallace, for your insight. And at this time of year, when we are surrounded by the lights of the holidays, the lights of Christmas, the lights and candles of Hanukkah, I leave you with these words. We cannot light the whole world. What we can do is be a part as we share our light of love, as we light one another's hearts, and as each person in turn begins to share this light, we will see our little flame has grown beautiful and bright, and we have lit the world. Happy holidays to all. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.